Three Dorks podcast. When I say angry, I mean fucking Although today, we're probably not going to be as angry because we're actually going to talk about dating. We got a couple of, we got our normal, we got our Ed Greer. Hello, Ed Greer.
What's up, Ron? How are you?
Oh, so angry. Are you see, do you sound how, is, can you see how angry I am over
I
here?
I get angry about relationships. Not my current one that much, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have some anger about some past relationships for sure. We have a couple of guests. First, we've got Eric Barnes over here. He's sitting in for Matt Blackwood today and is a very funny nerd. Go ahead.
Hello, everybody.
And then we have Melissa Badani, whose name I constantly fuck up, and is on Oral Simulation, the show on Skid Row as well. Say hello.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Yay! So today, we've got a couple of things happen. We are going to have Joelle Selner call in at about 6:30. She's written for Teen Titans, Avengers, I believe Jackie Chan, a couple other things. Pretty cool. We'll talk to her about some of the stuff we're already going to talk about and ask her about cartoons. And we got a caller. We got Joelle. Is this Joelle?
This is Joelle.
Hey!
Hello.
Welcome to the Angry Dorks podcast.
Glad to be on it. I've been enjoying your first half.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
Normally we talk about even nerdier things, but this is the nerd dating episode. For those of you who know Joelle, and did I say your name right, by the way?
Yes.
Sweet. She has written for, among other things, she's also she's written Avengers, cartoon, Teen Titans, and Jackie Chan, Ben 10 as well, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So a bunch of cool-ass cartoons.
Big fan.
And, well, first off, are you a nerd? You're a nerd, right?
I'm a super nerd.
I was seeing you also drawn some comic books as well.
I've written them. I can't draw. Everything I draw looks like a potato.
Potato man.
We have that in common then, Joel.
Iron potato.
So my question is, what do you think about dating within the nerd culture?
Well, I'm a terrible guest for you to have because next month I'll be married for 11 years.
Hell yeah. No, that's a great guest to
that's
have.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. 11 years.
All my dating is done vicariously through my single friends.
And then you go to bed happy at night.
Is your dad...
I hear these stories and I just come home and I hug my husband. And I'm like, if you're ever going to leave me, just... chop my head off and leave me in a dumpster because I do not want to date again.
It's horrible. It really is.
It's a bad, especially LA. LA is a terrible market.
Well, why do you think that is in specific?
Well, I just remember some of my dating horror stories. Luckily, I didn't have to go through it too long out here. I'm originally a New Yorker.
Nice.
And in New York, you have a date. And you set the date, and you both show up, and you go through your date, and it's bad or it's good, and that's it. And here, it's like this whole ordeal with, is the guy going to show up?
Wow.
And are we going somewhere?
Are we just going to hang out
with your friends? It was always like these weird, like, it was a date or it wasn't a date, and I never really knew, we would have a time, and then they wouldn't show up, and it would just make me crazy.
Oh, well, there's flakes in L.A.? What?
I wasn't used to that, because there are not flakes in New York.
Yeah. Oh, no, people are on the shit in New York.
I didn't meet them.
Yeah. I have another question for you. Is your husband a nerd?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Two nerds together making nerds. See, that's one of my, it's a joke I do, but it is totally true. Like, people are always like, oh, nerds don't get laid, and it's like, yeah, where do you think smart people come from? They don't come from two people banging.
Much more comfortable, dating super smart, nerdy guys. I went to a very nerdy high school.
Mm. Mm. What high school?
Hunter High in New York.
Nice. I don't know anything about that. I like to pretend I know things, though.
That sounds nerdy.
It was one of those gifted schools where, the guys around, we didn't have jocks. We didn't have, a football team or anything.
Oh, man, I wish that had been my school.
Was it one of those schools that only had a lacrosse team?
Everyone was, really into comics, and we used to play, like, we'd have, like, Lord of the Rings identities.
What the fuck? Why did I have to go to Del Norte? This is bullshit.
Well, you were in New Mexico, and she was in cool New York.
Are you sure that's New York or Narnia where you're from? Because I've never heard of this before.
That's awesome.
One thing I wanted to ask you, the first non-dating related question, how did you actually break in? And I know you probably had to answer this question a billion times, so answer it as interestingly as possible. How did you actually break into animation writing? Like, what made you think you could even do it? Because I have a crisis of confidence about stuff like that. So what
I still don't think I can do it. I had moved out here besides to attack the thriving dating scene that I'd heard such wonderful things about. to get into TV writing. And pretty much as soon as I got here, I got into the Warner Brothers sitcom program, and I got an agent, and I thought I was going to be super successful.
Nice.
And then I didn't get staffed, and the agent dropped me. And I had a writing partner that I was writing with at the time. So we had all these, you know, decent spec scripts that had gotten meetings and things. So he had a friend who was running the Mary-Kate and Ashley show.
I saw that you'd written the cartoon for that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we passed our good spec scripts on to her. So she gave us a couple episodes. And, you know, then we had our animation credit. And from there, we went on to a couple episodes of Jackie Chan. And then my partner had quite enough of trying to be a writer. And I just continued on my own.
Nice. So it sounds like basically you just submitted until something came through.
Pretty much. And we had some close calls and pitched to other shows, and nothing happened. And, you know, finally we just had that one produced credit.
Well, what was your worst pitch meeting story? I'd like to hear those.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many of them. Actually, probably my worst meeting in general was our manager wanted to find us an agent, and we went to see this agent at this medium-sized talent agency, and she just talked nonstop, and I sat there just listening to her go on and on and on, and I didn't say anything. Like, she'd ask me a question and I'd start to answer and she'd interrupt.
Oh man.
So I would, you know,
that sounds like some girlfriends I've had.
she was definitely one of those hyper chatty people, and I was a lot quieter at the time.
Now you'd be like, look woman, I got something to tell you.
Yeah, now I've been jaded enough so that I don't want to sit and listen to anyone give me their bullshit about what they do anymore.
So pitching is just like dating?
Pretty much. You just go in expecting for not a whole lot to come out of it. And, you know, sometimes you kind of hit pay dirt and sometimes you don't. So anyway, I'd gotten back from this agent meeting and my manager called us and really kind of singled me out and said, Joelle, what did you do? What did you say? I was like, I didn't say anything. Literally did not say anything. And she said, like, she could never send you out in a room. She couldn't send you on meetings. That she thought you were weird.
Because you didn't enthusiastically support her logorrhea.
I didn't say or do anything. And suddenly my manager was having second thoughts. She's like, you know, do we need to, you know, have you sign up for improv so, you know, you can improve your personality?
Oh
what?
Yeah. That's disgusting. That's disgusting that somebody would say that. Well, I mean, I don't want to take pictures. My girl said, well, if you just be a writer, you're going to have to take pictures. And I'm just like, like, why do I have to do that? There's so many things that go into it. Charm clad. Did they want to put a book on your head?
Jesus. Charm class. That's terrible. What's wrong with people?
I think a lot of being a writer is just finding the right fit. Like, there are people who I just don't see myself working with, that it's just not a good personality fit.
Mm-hmm.
there are people that are just entirely on the same page with me creatively. And it's just, it's like not even working. It's just like, oh, we're having fun. We're making up shit.
Okay.
So again, it's parallel to dating.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
It's very, very much like dating.
So when you were working on Teen Titans, which I think is, you know, awesome. Which is, I love that cartoon, by the way, as a side note.
Oh, thanks.
It says here you worked on the Bunny Raven or How to Make a Titanimal Disappear episode.
Yeah, we had the only musical Teen Titans. We had a big music number.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Which kind of polarized the fans.
When you're a Grayson.
Did it piss off some and some of them loved it?
Yeah, some of them really liked it. And the episode, the Titans were all turning into like these little cute animals.
Yeah.
And there were some people, it was just not their thing. And it was the first time I really saw something nasty written about me on the internet.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Man, if only that was the first time for me.
Yeah, I get that every day.
Yeah,
God forbid you try something different.
You're like, now you're like, yep, I'm going to get something nasty written about me. It sounds awesome to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds hilarious. It's funny, right?
It was funny. It was so much fun to do. And the voice of Mumbo, our villain, was voiced by Tom Kenny, who's amazingly talented. He's the voice of SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And we hadn't told him he was going to be singing that day.
Oh.
So he walks in and the voice director hands him the song. Like, oh, this is your song. I'm singing? So we were a little scared that, oh, nobody really checked to see if he wanted to sing or if he could sing. So the music director played the song, and he just hit it out of the park.
Well, that's awesome.
He was amazing. I've never been so impressed with a human being.
That sounds awesome. You also wrote for the Avengers Mightiest Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of that one.
And
in the future, or is just an Avengers cartoon?
It's just an Avengers cartoon for Disney.
And this one, it said you wrote the one with Kree Sentry Drone. Went to Captain Marvel, right?
The big giant space robot.
Now, isn't that one based basically on a comic? I mean, it sounds super familiar.
Yeah, that was in a comic. The way the show was written, Chris Yost, the story editor, who's also a huge writer for Marvel on the comic side.
That sounds very familiar.
Kind of took bits and pieces of the comic canon.
Nice.
To create the narrative of the show.
And then adjust. That happens a lot in cartoons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're working with comic books. I love that because, I mean, it's funny because it's like a while back they had a Spider-Man episode where he gets the Venom suit. This is many, many years ago.
Mm.
And in the, obviously in the comic book, it's Secret Wars and he's like in a different dimension and it's like involves like a bunch of different heroes and you can't really exactly do all that on a cartoon.
Well, the last couple episodes of the first season going into the first half of the second season is based off of Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
Of In Earth's Mightiest Heroes. And I thought that was really cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that part yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. Pretty much, then the other question, I had another question for you. Is there any project you really want to work on? Like any comic book or anything? Do you have like a dream project?
I think it would be like different in comics and different in animation.
Okay.
Well, let's do comics first, since we talked about animation.
Yeah.
Do comics. I would really love to take on one of the female superheroes.
Okay. Any specific one, or? I think I misheard you. What did you say?
Any one of the female superheroes.
Oh, yeah. You got a favorite?
There's actually like an obscure one
Ooh.
That I've always been fascinated with, and I think they'll just never do it, is Crazy Jane.
Crazy Jane? I don't even know that. You know Crazy Jane?
She sounds familiar.
We're going to have to Google it. I also saw that you worked on this Womanthology anthology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just came out on Wednesday.
Ooh, tell me about that.
That was a story that I actually had always wanted to do. When I come out of advertising, and I worked at an ad agency for a while in El Segundo. And El Segundo is kind of like the hotbed of like aerospace. And we had the creative department shared a hallway with this government lab.
Ooh.
And like I would go out there, and as I was also writing at the time, I would take my calls with my manager and sit in the hallway, and someone would always poke their head out and like, you can't sit there, because they had like all this top secret shit going on.
Uh-huh.
And so I was always thinking of doing this story, like what if they were experimenting on us?
That would be awesome.
So my story was about this girl who works in an ad agency. She's an assistant, and her coworkers start turning into aliens around her.
That's awesome.
And spoiler alert, it's the government lab.
No, I swear I won't tell anybody, but have you overheard anything from the government agency next door that you probably shouldn't have overheard?
No, I mean, they had a locked door, so I really never knew what was going on.
Well, at least they locked the door.
But that's the thing that's so funny to me, is like this super secret government lab. What do they think you're going to do, put a cup against the door and get all the, get all the secrets? It's so silly.
Gentlemen, we need to keep this top priority.
Oh, Crazy Jane, by the way, you're right. That is a badass character to write.
Mm-hmm.
The Crazy Jane has looks like 30 different personalities?
I think like 60.
Yeah, and some of them have superpowers, some of them don't, some of them are like trying to help her. That's awesome.
That does sound awesome.
And her best friend is a street.
A street?
A street.
Oh, yeah, Danny the Talking
Danny
Street?
Danny the Street.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just think that's so random.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
No, yeah, Danny.
Danny the Talking Street?
He's a street, man.
And he talks. He has shit to say.
Yeah. And I just imagine this, like, crazy character just yelling at the road. And how much fun that would be.
Oh, my God, that is awesome.
Don't forget to yield.
Okay, well, we got I try to get everybody involved who checks things out on our little page here. Stouty Stout, who's a friend of mine, who, by the way, Stouty has one of the better mustache goatee chop combination of all time.
Nice.
And also has a mullet. And it is not an ironic mullet. It is I think this mullet is cool mullet. So good for you, Stouty Stout. And he put, so since you're talking about online dating sites, how do you feel about the questions asked on OkCupid and how accurate the method is or isn't? I've answered around 2,000 questions, and I don't even look at profiles that haven't answered at least 500 and still have an above 80% match. What do you guys think of that?
What do I think? I think that's kind of smart, but at the same time, I usually just read the profile and see, oh, she's into this, into that, and into that. And if that's enough, I just write a message saying, hey, you know, give proof that I've read her profile, not just hi or hey or any of that garbage.
I like to write hey, can we have some sex? That doesn't work though,
you know. And
I think the direct approach is always good.
That's sometimes it works.
Well, that's when be like, hey, we have this in common, check out my profile if you think likewise, shoot me a message. And then after the second message or so, I'll be like, okay, here's my number or here's my email, let's schedule a date and meet like at Starbucks or wherever, or at a bar for drinks.
Something like that.
Yeah. I don't, I want to be clear. I date on OkCupid, but that's not exclusively what I do. I do ask for phone numbers if I'm at a show and I hit it off with a girl very well.
Yes.
You do date in 3D.
I do date in 3D.
Hey,
it's not all Skype.
I met my husband on Match.com.
See?
Oh, there you go.
Well, that's a perfect ad for that.
So there you go.
10 years.
Now, if only we had Match.com to sponsor us, that would be fucking helpful.
The thing, like, way back then, back in the day, we had to answer, like, maybe 5 questions. And that was it. Like, you answer a couple of questions. It's like, yeah, I want them this tall and, you know, within this, like, salary range.
Dick must be 9 inches.
And, you know, they're from there and pretty much it. And then it just shot some matches out at me.
Okay.
I'd like to...
And now it's so crazy. And I watch what, you know, my friends are on OkCupid answering, like, 500 questions.
Yeah, I'm like, geez, I don't think...
Just, like,
I have shit to
I don't
do.
Care
I gotta
about.
Be honest. I spend most of my day promoting for shows and writing and doing things. Answering a bunch of questions to go on some dates, that shit's not going to happen for
Keep
me.
Keep in mind, the only time I answer questions is in bouts of insomnia that
That's
I
what
do
I
once a month.
Yeah, I was going to assume that.
I wake up
like
at 2
that.
In the morning.
Dude, you have shit to do, I know that.
I had a brainstorm. We need
it's
to come up
complicated.
With, we need to come up with a comic book dating site. Like like people who are into comics, so you can ask a bunch of specific comic questions. Like, do you think Jim Lee designs the worst fucking costumes ever? Check yes or no.
Do you think Rob Liefeld's a dick?
Yeah. Everybody thinks Rob Liefeld's a dick.
The one thing that I liked about OkCupid, though, was that I guess if you match few enough questions, they call it your nemesis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to go on and find a nemesis because I don't have awesome. A nemesis.
Right.
And I thought, how cool would it be to have an actual nemesis?
And you can arch name them. Enemy.
And you have reasons.
Yeah. Girl who loves magic, hates basketball. You know,
so I thought, like, you know, I could have a nemesis and, you know, he could, like, you know, bomb my house or be kind of like a Dr. Venture and Monarch.
There you
and
go.
Ah, nice. Going on. And
essentially, essentially form your own guild.
Yeah,
that'd be
yeah,
awesome.
And I thought like that would be, you know, kind of useful.
Yeah, well, we know that me and Melissa don't do dating sites, right? You don't do dating sites either.
You know what? I wanted to tell you guys real quick. The way I met a guy once, I was standing in a line in Vegas, and he came up and grabbed me around the waist and dipped me and kissed me.
Whoa.
I'm still in love with that guy.
Wow.
Nothing, no online profile is ever gonna match that.
Could a man that looks like me do that and get away with it though?
Yes.
No. Because you would look like you were about to rape someone.
Yes, exactly.
You look
I love
like
you,
my
but we know
actually.
That that's
we
an accurate
statement. We all know
statement.
That that's, yeah, there's accuracy to that.
Greer, have you ever done a website dating thing?
No. Okay. I would never trust.
Have you ever dipped a random woman and made out with her?
No, I've cursed one out before. No, I mean, really, I mean, I never would trust my picture to attract a woman.
Yeah.
I think really they do have to meet me and see how cool I am in conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the same
be
way.
Be totally modest and honest about it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I, you know, my profile and my messaging, I'm like, yeah, I look like this, but these are the things that I want. These are the things that I really am. Because if I were at a bar and say, hey, can I buy you a drink? They'll be like, nah.
I have a few fears that with online dating, I would just take that opportunity to write the most outrageously hilarious bullshit I possibly could on my, because it would just be like, look at this opportunity to say hilarious
that,
shit.
What if that got you a girl though?
Well, I would
so
call
funny.
You.
Yeah.
Well, Ron, here's the good thing about OkCupid. You can have more than one account. So
oh
you can
God,
have a
that's
real
awesome.
One and a fake one.
Oh yeah, we got to wrap this up here. By the way, I guess Joelle, is there anything you want to plug before we're out of here?
Everyone go out and get this week's Womanthology.
Yeah,
you can download it at Comixology. It's Womanthology Space Number 2.
Nice.
By IDW.
IDW. All right. Joelle's awesome, everybody. Look her up. She also has a website you can check out as well, right?
And I wrote for a web series, Samurai Daycare.
Ooh, Samurai Daycare.
On the Smosh channel. Nice. So go watch that a lot.
Nice. All right. Ed, any plugs?
Yeah, go to supportdestruction.com, and it's at Ed Greer Destroys on Twitter.
Nice.
Follow me on Twitter at that Eric Barnes, E-R-I-K-B-R-N-E-S, and listen to myself and other comedian Nat Bamel on Dictionary Diatribe, another podcast that you can easily search on iTunes.
Nice. And I'm Dorky Swallow at Twitter. I know. My last name is Swallow. You got Angry Dorks podcast every Monday. I have a show at the Ontario Pro Improv October 30th. Pod Nanny.
check out the Funny Squad Halloween special part one, came out today. And also, of course, you can hear me right here at Skid Row Studios at 9 p.m. on Wednesdays on Oral Stimulation.
Yeah, Oral Stimulation.
Oh, yeah.
So it's A-U-R-A-L, pervs.
All right. Thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Podcast every Monday. Good night.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joelle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, good times.